The stairs ended at the mezzanine level, but the door was locked. JB tricked the mechanism easily enough, but then the portal refused to open more than a few inches as something was blocking it on the other side. Holstering his weapons, Ryan put his shoulder to the door and shoved hard, digging in his heels until the portal finally moved enough to create a gap for them to squeeze past. Stepping through, he found what had been in the way. More bodies. The carpeted floor was covered with corpses of every age and sex. Umbrellas and packages dotted the human morass, thin dried arms with clawed fingers rising from the sprawled bodies like bare autumn trees, with jewelry and watches glittering in the candlelight. Kicking the dead aside to make room, Ryan got the door fully open, and the rest of the companions joined him in the hallway of death. A soft glow could be seen from the end of the hallway, and Ryan proceeded with extra care. Some of the dead were so well preserved, he wouldn't have been surprised if they rose and attacked. No wonder everybody was twitchy. Dean felt slightly rattled by the blank, eyeless faces.
They must have died waiting for the elevator.
Christie's animated hair was strangely still about her features.
Ghastly.
This is Dante-esque. Nay, surreal. It is like something from a nightmare. Or is this a nightmare, and I'm not really here?
Easy, Doc.
Christie took his arm and squeezed to reaffirm the man's hold on reality.
Easy there. Everything is fine. They're long gone, and we're alive.
Are they, madam? Are they indeed? Or is it perhaps that they are alive and we're the ethereal ghosts?
All of a sudden, Ryan pointed at a random corridor.
Doc, watch that hallway. Cover our flank.
For a split second, it seemed as if the ploy wouldn't work. But then the confusion left the scholar's lined face, and he smoothly drew both the Webley he'd acquired at Rock Point and the Lamar to stand guard. Every trace of madness was gone from his voice and stance.
None shall pass here, old friend.
Surreptitiously glancing at the two people, Mildred nodded in approval. Ryan returned the gesture and proceeded along the crowded passageway, swiveling to avoid the outstretched hands of the gnarled dead. No matter how muddled he ever got, Doc always came back if there was real trouble. His brain may be somewhat damaged, but his spirit was still strong as steel. Reaching the balcony, Ryan went to the ornate railing and studied the main floor, illuminated by the sunlight streaming in through the smashed front windows. Bodies were everywhere, on the curved steps leading to the main floor, propped against the walls, sitting on a sofa near the reception desk. A delivery man was cradling a large bouquet of dried flowers with a satin banner proclaiming Happy Birthday. A mail carrier was crumpled on the floor before the open honeycomb of mail slots, undelivered envelopes piled at his shoes. Assorted others lay on the floor, limbs mixed, briefcases scattered, their loose clothing fluttering from the breeze. Maneuvering down the carpeted stairs proved to be impossible, and the companions had no choice but to walk on the dead, the husks crushing into crumbling dust under their weight. Reaching the marble floor, Ryan and the others stomped their boots to get rid of the clinging dust, the vibrations causing several of the nearby bodies to fall apart. Zigzagging through the corpses, Jack went to check the guard's weapon in its holster, but the leather was stuck to the revolver, and the albino teen had to yank hard to get it loose. As the gun came free, the guard tumbled to the marble floor and broke apart into pieces, his head rolling along the floor to careen off other corpses until coming to rest near the phone booths. Inspecting the blaster, Jack pulled the trigger and the weapon stiffly clicked, nothing more. Cracking the cylinder, he frowned at the .38 caliber shells eaten through by crystalline deposits.
Shit.
The teenager tossed the useless weapon onto the reception desk with a clatter.
Any ammo exposed to the air would be dead from the salt corrosion. But if we find any ammo still wrapped in plastic, I'm willing to bet that would be as good as ever.
Like the gunpowder in our ammo in the redoubts.
Actually, no. Gunpowder loses its ginger over the years, especially crude stuff like the black powder that Doc uses.
Nonsense. Black powder is infinitely superior, sir.
Most of the weapons we find in the redoubts use cordite, not the nitrocellulose mix in the 20th century blasters.
It's worse for the blasters. That's why we have to clean so much. But the stuff really lasts.
The modern propellant for guns was cleaner, but only lasted 10, 20 years on the shelf. However, cordite, under the right conditions, lasts 100, sometimes more.
Reaching out with his ebony stick, Doc shoved the weapon off the desk.
Anybody seeing that would know somebody had been here recently. If the Corps is not here yet, they soon will be.
Take no chances with them.
Christie blew out her candle and tucked it away.
I've seen what they can do in your mind. Shoot them on sight and ignore anything standing behind them. It'll be an illusion.
No prob.
Jack slid the Winchester off his back and worked the lever. The greater range meant better protection from the mind muties. Just then, an explosion occurred far away, closely followed by the shattering of glass. Even though she knew better, Mildred half expected the sound to herald police sirens and the wail of an ambulance. But there was only the thick, oppressing silence. With a shiver, the woman finally came to understand the term, graveyard quiet. This wasn't a city, it was a cemetery. Going to the empty frame of a window, Ryan surveyed the area outside. Lines of cars were jammed end to end, trucks parked atop smaller vehicles, a motorcycle lying tangled with a baby carriage, the adult and infant grinning corpses. Jack reported in from the window across the lobby, the lever-action Winchester rifle held ready at waist level.
Not in sight.
Maybe it's another fuel truck. Or a car near the first one caught fire and set off its fuel tank.
A warm breeze blew through the broken windows, and Christie sniffed a few times.
That fire is close, couple of blocks.
Nuking salt has dried everything like tinder. This whole city could ignite if the wind is right.
Suddenly, Jack gave a sharp whistle and raised a hand, clenching it into a fist. Instantly, the companion stopped talking and assumed a more aggressive stance, blasters raised. The teen stood motionless against the marble wall, looking intently into the street full of cars and trucks. Black smoke wafted through the air, making it difficult to see very far. Then they heard a noise of metal on metal, and the smoke thinned for a moment for Jack to see something metallic moving among the pre-dark vehicles. A shiny dome with rotating red discs. Holding his breath, Jack watched with a pounding heart while the machine pushed a crashed truck out of its way and turned a corner to vanish from sight.
Dark night. A seconder droid.
And this one is in perfect working condition, unlike that wreck we found at the redoubt last week.
Just great.
Mildred glanced up at the ceiling and the world beyond.
We're trapped in a burning city with a Sec Hunter, and Gaza and the Corps in the desert above.
Looting the city is no longer an option. First we score some water, and then get some heavy iron. We're gonna need more than blasters to handle a Sec Hunter.
Jack still watched from the empty window frame.
Then how get out, Pit? No building near enough to top for us to try a jump.
We'll figure that out after we're armed better.
Ryan then turned to his son.
Okay, Dean. What should we do first?
Knowing he was being tested, the boy scrunched his face in concentration before answering. The rest of the companions waited patiently, while Dean chewed the inside of his lip.
Water coolers in office buildings like this are always useless. They drip and are always dry. Luxury hotels are good. They have those little mini-fridges locked in the better rooms. Always some bottled water there.
Stone-faced, Ryan said nothing. So the boy continued, feeling the pressure to come up with the correct answer fast.
Got it! Hot pipe, I'm a Pheeb! A supermarket! Normally we don't bother with supermarkets since they were always looted during the rioting after Skydark.
But this city was never looted. Good call.
Occam's razor.
Doc reached out to tousle the boy's hair.
Always try the simplest answer first. It is often correct.
Dean shifted away from the praise, then smiled back. In contrast, Ryan became serious once more.
Okay, I'm on point. JB, cover the rear with your Uzi. Christie, keep that 475 ready for the droid, if it appears.
Done.
The redhead pulled back both of the curved hammers on the massive double-barreled elephant rifle.
Only a couple of rounds left.
Then make them count, lover. Without implograns or something equally big, a Sec Hunter could chew us apart like an MRE snack bar. We shoot and run for high ground. They don't go very fast on stairs, and that gives us an edge.